This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's an honor to welcome to this program, for the first time live in studio, Leslie Bowman. She is the new president and chief executive of the Thomas Jefferson Foundation, Thomas Jefferson's Monticello. How are you? It's good to see you.
I'm great, Coy. Thanks for having me in.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you could make time. I know you're very, very busy. We've got a lot of people up on the mountain doing a lot of wonderful things, and I appreciate you making some time for us. I have so much we want to talk about. Let's start, though, with a little bit of your background, the 101. Tell us, where you were before you came to Monticello and a little bit about your education and where you're from.
Sure, Coy. Well, I'm a native of Ohio. I grew up between Los Angeles and Central Ohio, and then in due course went to graduate school at the University of Delaware's Winterthur program, which maybe is a link to where I came from prior to this position, because I was 9 years director and CEO of the Winterthur Museum and Country Estate in Delaware.
Yeah, which is an amazing place. I was telling you before we went on the air, my wife is an historical archaeologist, and Winterthur, to her, is heaven on earth. For folks who've never been there or heard of this really, truly amazing place, which is unique in the world. What is Winterthur?
Well, Winterthur is the former country estate of one of the DuPonts, who very quickly decided he wanted to assemble the greatest collection of American art and antiques anywhere in the world. And it was the 1920s, and he was capable of doing that with his resources. So it is now the reigning collection of American furniture, ceramics, glass, silver, decorative arts, as well as paintings and sculpture. And it's installed in his former home in 175 period rooms, which makes it a rather remarkable experience. And it's still on his 1,000-acre estate with his world-renowned naturalistic gardens.
Amazing. And from how it's been described to me is that you could walk in and see perhaps a kitchen or a living room exactly how it looked, you know, from a period past in time, maybe hundreds of years ago, and everything is authentic in this particular room. There really are little slices from our past.
That's right. And even the architecture, in many cases, is original. He was collecting at a time when historic preservation was in its infancy. So he actually saved a lot of interior architecture out of houses that were hitting the wrecking ball during the Depression. So there were great rooms from all the colonies and wonderful things from Virginia and Maryland and Georgia, et cetera.
Yeah. And you could really spend days at Winterthur, right? I mean, just on and on. It's room after room after room.
It's true. And it's 9 floors and it's 175 rooms. And now, of course, there's also a museum and a children's garden and on and on and on. Yeah. So you can imagine it was a little tough to decide to leave paradise in Delaware.
Leslie Bowman is the new president of Thomas Jefferson's Monticello and the chief executive of the Thomas Jefferson Foundation. Online at monticello.org. It's an honor to welcome her to this program. Leslie, tell me about the phone call. I'm curious. Take us there to that moment when you know you're working at Winterthur. It's an amazing. It's so many people making this happen and visitors from all over the world. When did you get this call that there might be some interest down in Virginia at Monticello?
Well, I can take it back even a little further than that. I have known Dan Jordan for years, and we served together on the board of the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And I remember well the day in the fall of 2007 when he announced to the Historic Sites Committee that he was probably going to retire. He was announcing his retirement in a year. And I remember thinking, oh, poor person who has to try to follow Dan Jordan. And I didn't really think anything more about it. And I thought, oh, that poor board, they've got big shoes to fill there.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything about it then. And it was about the, I guess, winter of 2008 when a recruiter called. And I said, nobody can follow Dan Jordan. Think about who I know. Let me think about who I might be able to recommend.
And Dan became an icon. I mean, it's just when you thought of Monticello, you thought of two people, Thomas Jefferson and Dan Jordan.
Exactly. You know? And, you know, in the end, I've realized it's been probably the greatest gift to follow somebody with Dan's genius, because he's obviously left the institution in ship ship shape, tip top. He left just as the new visitor center was opening. So, you know, isn't that his wonderful style to leave the package for me to unopen?
Yeah.
Great gift.
And the purchase of Mount Alto as well, which locals know as Brown's Mountain, but still a tremendous move on his part that must not have been easy. I'm sure, you know, that I'm sure it didn't come cheap buying a mountain.
No, it was price, same price as the Louisiana Purchase.
Oh, my gosh.
Which doubled the size of the country in Jefferson's presidency. No, it's been just a wonderful, wonderful thing to walk into Monticello in such great shape. And Dan, as you say, was visionary. He also founded the International Center for Jefferson Studies, which now hosts conferences around the world as well as on the
Yeah, and for folks who don't know, because we might visit Monticello, but for folks who are listening either local or on podcast, tell us a little bit about that center, because they do amazing things there as well.
Well, the Robert H. Smith International Center for Jefferson Studies was founded, I think, in 1995 to engage scholars as well as the lay audience with Jefferson's ideas. It's become the epicenter for Jefferson research. We have fellows there visiting from around the world doing research, writing about Jefferson, researching Jefferson. And, of course, it's also the home of our digital as well as physical library on Jefferson and his world.
We're talking with Leslie Bowman, the new president of Thomas Jefferson's Monticello. Give us an idea of some of the things that are going on up on the mountain this fall and perhaps into next year.
Well, thank you, Coy. I'm delighted to. I'm also really thrilled that our visitation has been pretty positive, so I can say there's a lot going on. We have our famous Jefferson and Wine tours starting this fall twice a week. So for any of you who want to come on up the mountain and have a special tour as well as a wine tasting, you know, Jefferson really is the father of American wine. Our Saturdays in the Garden continue, sessions on September 26th, all five Saturdays in October, and of course November 14th. Wonderful walk through the garden with one of our horticulturalists. I'm really excited about a talk we're hosting on October 8th with civil rights leader, history professor, attorney, journalist, and author Roger Wilkins.
Wow.
Free to the public. It's in honor of Black history. We also, on October 21st, have a really special offer for our community, and that is a free public viewing of one of the first published copies of the Declaration of Independence.
Very cool.
One of only 26 copies known to exist. It was printed the night of July 4th, 1776, by John Dunlap of Philadelphia. And it's on a tour that's sponsored by an organization called Declare Yourself that Norman Lear has founded. And we registered for a stop. So we've got it on October 21st. We hope everybody will come up to take a look.
That's great. So it's a one-day thing, or it's going to be there for
a one-day thing. Norman Lear keeps this thing moving. He owns this one copy, and he wants to make it as broadly available to the American public as possible.
So where will it be? At the Visitor Center?
It'll be at the Visitor Center.
On October 21st.
On October 21st. And obviously our website will have details.
Gosh, I got to see that. That's amazing.
And of course, the new Visitor Center is still something to come up and rave about. There's so much going on. The new exhibits, the film. It's just really a wonderful way to outreach to our own community, the cafe, the shop.
It's really beautiful.
It is really beautiful.
Yeah. For folks who haven't seen it, you're in for a treat. I've been up there a few times, and it really is something. A lot better than the old bus stop that used to be there, you know?
And the hot dog stand.
Yeah.
Well, and another thing I'm excited about is on July 4th, we launched our Independence Pass as a way for our community to have their own pass to come and go as many times as they want, take a house tour, walk the garden, whatever. And it's a great gift for the holidays. So I encourage your listeners to think about the Independence Pass.
And so that's open to locals who want to. You pay one price and you can go as many times as you want through the year.
That's exactly right. And we want our locals also to remember that we still have the sort of ambassador program where they come free if they bring a paying guest.
Yeah, so you're still doing that. So
we
if you have out-of-town guests,
that.
Folks who come in town, take them up to Monticello, they pay and you don't.
That's right.
Good deal. That's really good. How has the visitorship been? Because I know numbers at like Colonial Williamsburg are down and at Jamestown are down. What's Monticello look like these days?
Well, I think fortunately, and again, let's give credit where it's due, Dan Jordan's genius with the new Visitor Center and all the programs up there. We are holding our own. We're up slightly over last year's attendance.
Oh, that's great.
We're thrilled to be in that position.
That's fantastic.
Even with the downturn in the economy, which has certainly affected all of us and affected visitation, I think, almost everywhere I know. So we're feeling very hopeful about closing out the year either at or exceeding last year's numbers.
Yeah. We're talking with Leslie Bowman, the new president of Thomas Jefferson's Monticello. You can find out more information about all of these events online at monticello.org. Leslie, I'm curious, with this background in material culture that you have, what is it about Monticello that captivates you? Not so much the history, but just the material culture. I'm curious, when you go in the house, what really interests you, the expert, the person who studied all these kind of things?
Well, I love the European flavor at Monticello. The fact that Jefferson brought back so many ideas from Europe and France. You know, Winterthur was a wonderful state-of-the-art museum of American material culture with a little bit of imported things thrown in, obviously tablewares and all that. I find Monticello just thrilling when you walk into the parlor and there's the parquet floor that he brought the idea back from France. There's the Campici chair that he had remade in his own workshop. There are the French chairs by Jacob that he then had his carpenter copy. We're actually hoping to get one of those chairs that his carpenter made on loan so we can put the two side by side.
Oh, wow.
So I think I find Jefferson's genius and his taste so inspiring.
Yeah.
He was a man of extraordinary taste. He had a great eye, and you've only to look at really one of the, obviously the great piece of material culture on the mountain is the house itself.
Yeah, of course. Well, those 5 years, was it 1785
to 89?
Yeah,
exactly.
That he spent in France had such a dramatic impact on him. And folks may not know that when he got back, one of the first things he did is tear down so much of Monticello and rebuild it, put in the dome that he saw being
that
built
on a
building in Paris that he watched being built. And there's still a statue there of him staring at this building with a dome on it, and where he lived, was it Languiac or Langeais?
Langeais, sorry.
This hotel that he had, which wasn't a hotel, was that the word for like apartment or
exactly?
Yeah, he had that completely outfitted, and then came back and sort of tried to recreate this bit of Paris on this mountaintop out in the country,
rustic wilderness,
in the third world, you know. It's amazing. So what, besides that aspect, what really interests you about Jefferson?
Well, Jefferson the genius. He's also the most international of our founding fathers. And that probably gets a little bit to the vision of where we're going. I think of all the wonderful founding fathers, and they're an extraordinary group individually and collectively. But Franklin and Jefferson are the two that have the greatest traction internationally. And of course, for my money, I'd say Jefferson, hands down, has had more influence on our modern world than any other American.
Yeah. Amazing. We're talking with Leslie Bowman, the new president of Thomas Jefferson's Monticello. Share with us, if you can, you talked a little bit about where we're going. Share with us your vision now as the new president, the new chief executive at Monticello. What's your vision for the future? What might we see down the road?
Well, I'd love to give you some glimpses of that. Again, I stand on the shoulders of wonderful Dan Jordan, because that whole new visitor center that was his vision and his genius is engaging our audiences in new ways. So I want to take that engagement and take it up a notch. Jefferson himself realized that a democracy relied on the people, and he wrote, "Cherish the spirit of our people, keep alive their attention." Well, we want to do exactly that at Monticello. We want to engage our audiences every day. We want to inspire dialogues. I think the new film, the exhibits, the classrooms, visitors are spending more time with us, and that's an opportunity for us to engage further. So we even are going outside of Charlottesville, and we're hosting web programs, film screenings, lectures, and conferences from New York to Sydney, Australia. But on the mountain, we want to engage as well. And one of the projects that's coming up that really is part of our vision, which is to engage a global audience in a dialogue with Jefferson's ideas. One way we're going to look at that is starting with the house and the site itself. Incredible power of place on that mountain. And we want our visitors to see more of Monticello, upstairs, downstairs, inside, outside. So even this fall, we're working hard to move things out of the house so we can open up the second and third floors.
Because there's still offices on the second
floor.
We still
had some offices up there and some storage.
Yeah.
So we've been making plans all fall how to rearrange all that so that certain of our tours could take people upstairs and not just take them up to see the architecture, but to tell the stories of the servants, the women, the children, the house guests. Monticello was a thriving plantation for about 200 and some people. So we want to tell more of those stories. And part of that, of course, is getting the wine cellar back. We've got the kitchen working again. So you're going to see a new Monticello this spring as we begin to bring some of these things together. A little bit longer term is our commitment to the main street on the mountain, and that was what we call Mulberry Row, which was where really the nucleus of the enslaved community lived and worked. And it's largely invisible now, except for our notations and our labels. And we think it's time to bring that back and to tell that story.
So might we see recreated buildings on Mulberry Row?
You well might, and you well might be able to engage in how we do that. We'd like to hear from our visitors as to what their aspirations are. We want to have an interactive experience with those buildings. Obviously, in the house, we can't touch. It's precious. We have to preserve that for all time. But if we're going to recreate some of those buildings on Mulberry Row, we can make those touchable and interactive. And we're really excited about that.
Yeah, that is very exciting. And that the future tours that might include the Dome Room is a very big deal, because it's only select locals who actually can say that they have stood in that that Dome Room. There ain't nothing there. It's pretty much like it was in Jefferson's time, just an attic. It's pretty empty, but still a very, very special. I'll always remember the moment that I stood in the Dome Room. It's a very special thing.
It's a very powerful place. I like to pull out the nickel when I have children up there and point to the dome and say, "Do you realize where you're standing?"
Well, how about other things that come to mind for things you'd like to see? Is it part of the vision? Because I know Dan, I remember sitting in his office one time and him telling me that, you know, he said one day there'll be no offices on the mountain. You'll just come up and it'll just be the house and the land and the gardens, and we'll put all of that down the mountain. Is that still part of the vision for Monticello?
Well, it's certainly a goal for longer term. In the immediate future, I want to get the house cleared of offices.
Right, the house
and open that up more to our visitors. But I think step by step, we're working towards that goal. The Mulberry Row project is actually a great big chapter in that vision, because part of Mulberry Row is bringing back what was there, but another piece of it is taking away what wasn't there. So there's some re-landscaping, there's a missing road that we need to put back, there's some archaeology. So I think bit by bit, we're still on that wonderful vision of, you know, making it more of Jefferson's world and less of ours.
Yeah, and the whole life of the enslaved African Americans at Monticello will come alive in a whole new way when you bring back Mulberry Row.
Absolutely, and I'm so excited. We're actually in discussions with the Smithsonian right now on a collaborative project there. So we might, at the same time we're bringing back Mulberry Row on the mountain, we might be working together with the new Museum of African American History and Culture on a joint exhibition on Monticello, Jefferson, and slavery.
Very exciting. Leslie Bowman is the new president of Thomas Jefferson's Monticello, the chief executive of the Thomas Jefferson Foundation, and you can learn more online about all the exciting things going on the mountain at monticello.org. Leslie, thank you so much for being here.
Coy, my pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.